Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. We have been doing a series of podcasts on different environmental topics, and today is no exception. We have a wonderful podcast today that Isaac Smith, out of our Mobile office, our leader from our Mobile office, is going to share with us. Isaac's going to talk to us today about a multi-scale monitoring effort the EPA is beginning to get underway. Isaac, good morning to you. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Todd. Glad to be here.
Well, so thankful to have you here. And man, we'll just hop right into it and take it from the top. What in the world is multi-scale monitoring that the EPA is rolling out?
So originally, this program was launched by the EPA Administrator Michael Reagan in 2022 in conjunction with some environmental justice efforts. And really what the program does, it combines, you know, some really high-tech air pollution type monitoring with some boots on the ground, you know, facility inspections to address pollution and enhance enforcement across, you know, what the EPA would commonly refer to as disproportionately impacted, you know, areas, which, you know, we usually refer to those as environmental justice areas.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that has been a very hot topic, and that certainly makes sense. You know, you referred to it, the technology as these things develop. Some of the stuff I've seen, I'm sure you've seen the same thing with drones and different sensors to really give a picture of what does a plant footprint looks like. That's pretty heady topics, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And I guess, you know, this type of situation was imminent with the advancements in technologies, but it's really taken off recently. We're not quite to the point where we can call it planes, trains, and automobiles, but we're pretty close. So, you know, the EPA's got an airplane that they actually house in Dallas, and it's capable of being deployed within 1 hour of notification. So it's the only airborne vehicle that they have that's capable of, you know, real-time measurement of chemicals and radiation, and it also has the capabilities of infrared cameras, you know, photography. So, you know, it's a pretty powerful asset, and it can be used anywhere. That could be local, national, or even international agencies. So they actually have it where, you know, it can be deployed for other countries in the event of some kind of release or disaster. Outside the airplane, they've got what they call the GMAP, which is a mobile air monitoring vehicle. Think of that as, you know, it's a van outfitted with lots of different analyzers. So obviously it's mobile. And the EPA can, you know, drive that around your facility and map what's on the upwind side, downwind side. So they really get an idea of kind of, you know, facility contribution to the ambient air quality around the area. And that vehicle is really specifically outfitted to look for like volatile organic compounds, VOCs, and hazardous air pollutants, which that kind of rolls back into the whole environmental justice. They're really, really looking at HAPS these days. And then aside from that, there's, you know, some other things that have been around for a little while longer. These FLIR cameras, you know, they can use those as well outside the fence line to look at tanks or flares or any kind of stacks. And then you've got even passive type monitors like fence line monitors and things like that. So, you know, it's pretty powerful. And even recently, there's been a couple of different articles on utilization of satellites to actually measure pollutants from space. And Google's even getting in on that, where they have a satellite combined with some artificial intelligence to monitor methane emissions. So, you know, the possibility is really endless.
Well, and it is. And you hit something in so many things that you touched on. It's really amazing how technology is come into the picture like everywhere else and what's available. But I think the other part that's really amazing, and we'll talk about as we kind of dive in, but I'll just give a little appetizer on it, is the data that's just accessible to the public. the day that you referred to, house being collected, you know, fence line monitors, kind of the old standard, and then in the FLIR monitors advances. Now we're getting into mobile trucks and airplanes, and I'm sure helicopters are utilized, even up into satellites. And then as this information is collected, having it at the in the palm of your hand on a smartphone, that makes it really, you know, really informative for sure.
It is. It's a slippery slope too. You know, how the quality of the data, you actually have situations recently where it's not even the EPA collecting the data. It's these non-governmental organizations or, you know, maybe anti-industry groups that are driving around, taking some of this data, whether it's FLIR cameras or what, and they post it to YouTube or whatever, you know, media page, and actually say, oh, this is from X and Y, you know, X facility and Y geography, where the data hadn't really been vetted. We don't know how accurate it is. You don't really know what it's depicting. But in the case of like these FLIR cameras, it looks like there's all kind of, you know, emissions coming out from the source, when in fact it could be water vapor or many different things, non-HAP or even, well, like I said, moisture vapor or moisture or water vapor or something like that. So, you know, where the data goes and how it's utilized, you know, can be very, very impactful. And we got to make sure that the data is accurate and then, you know, used for the right reasons.
Well, Isaac, you mentioned about the aviation, the plane that's based in Dallas and can get anywhere depending on, you know, an emergency situation, which we all understand need to monitor during emergencies. But as this process is evolving, is there any specific area or industry that EPA is really wanting to look at so far that maybe has evidenced itself a little more than others?
Yeah, definitely in the beginning, you know, this program was focused in the South, right here in our neck of the woods in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. And that was kind of the route Michael Reagan took when he made this little, you know, trip announcing this program. And it's predominantly being used at chemical plants, you know, anything from especially chemicals or petrochemicals. But recently, it's really expanded to other geographies and even other pollutants. You know, like I said, these technologies are highly mobile with the plane and the van. It quickly can be directed any kind of facility or even location where there's some type of catastrophic release, like the train derailments in Ohio or, you know, or things similar to that. So they pretty much can go anywhere at any time. But program, you know, initially was down here in the Gulf Coast area.
And that makes sense because we have so much industry all over the U.S., but certainly in the Gulf South, no doubt about it. Is there any group like, was it refineries? Was it pulp and paper? Is there anybody they seem to be looking at a little bit harder? Or is it just across the board, Isaac?
Yeah, I mean, it's more the chemical industry for sure, whether that's petrochemicals or especially chemicals. But those types of facilities generally are going to have hazardous air pollutants just because of the processes and raw materials involved. So that was where most of the stuff was focused. Other hot topics like, you know, ethylene oxide, there's quite a few of those facilities in Louisiana, and that was a very, you know, hot button topic these days. So mainly in the chemical industry.
And that makes total sense. And you alluded to how this step up in effort, this, you know, multi-source look really came out of the criminal justice getting more and more visible under the Biden administration. Have you seen any types of trends or any clues as to what EPA seems to be doing with the data?
You know, in most situations, it seems like the data is going to be used for, you know, enforcement at the facility level. But, you know, in certain situations, it definitely could be used more for health reasons, you know, talking about the train derailment or things like that, where you're really concerned about the impacts of those individuals. You know, if the data are combined with subsequent inspections, so that's really what happens. They, you know, they use this different technology to capture some data, inform the regulators or inspectors, and then they have more of a targeted inspection, if you think about it like that. So if those targeted inspections prove to be, you know, indicate non-compliance, you know, typically you're going to have administrative orders follow, which generally include some fines, and then some type of, you know, emissions minimization project, or even what they call a SEP, a supplemental environmental project, where, you know, that's basically the facility is then instead of just writing a check to the EPA or the state agencies, the facility takes that money and does something positive in the community, which is, you know, in my opinion, a better use of the funds. So that could be anything from, you know, new emergency response equipment like fire trucks, installation of, you know, solar panels somewhere, water filtration, education, even something like constructing some community gardens. So, you know, a little bit more beneficial for those, you know, immediately around the facilities who are said to be more impacted. It's also possible anytime the EPA is getting large amounts of data, especially from a specific type of industry, they can use that to draft additional regulations or even request additional, you know, more targeted testing to kind of combine with that data offsite to help refine some of their modeling and things like that. So it can be used for a, you know, wide variety of reasons.
So think about all this data is being collected. And would it be smart, and I know you've got a lot of thoughts on this topic, but we'll make sure that industry has access to the same technology so they get the same data, and they could probably use it as they could measure their facility and look at their emissions and different things that are happening at their facility to make sure they're permitted the correct way and really be a step ahead of what EPA is trying to do. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when the EPA has the capabilities to do this stuff, it only behooves the industry to utilize those same technologies. And they are out there for rent. You know, we're not talking about something that's cheap. If you're going to rent one of these GMAP or mobile vans with the technology, I mean, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars necessarily, depending upon the size of the facility and this and that. So you could see larger industries or larger corporations even buy their own, but then you've got the maintenance, and then what are you going to do with the data? You know, if you're generating data, you got to be careful what that data shows, because then you may be required to report it. And if we're talking about outside the fence line, you know, there it's a pretty slippery slope. So, but yeah, once the technology is available for the regulators, then it's usually going to trickle down where industry ends up using it to maintain compliance as well.
Well, that makes total sense and lines up. And Isaac, you've done a great job of laying out the topic and how to understand it and what's coming with it. So that leads us to, I guess, our last question today on the podcast, which is, what's next? What do you forecast? Where are we going with this?
Yeah, you'd mentioned the administration. You know, a lot of that is going to depend, sadly enough, a lot of the environmental rules, regulations, and path depends on who's in power in the White House. So we'll have to see how that shakes out in the fall. If it stays a current course, you can look for, you know, this to even be ramped up even further. Additional scrutiny on oil and gas and chemical. Like I said, that the Google satellite is specifically looking at methane emissions from oil and gas industry. So it's really targeting certain industries. But like I said, if this type of technology is going to be available, whether it's going to be at the state or federal level, or even these third party NGOs, then the facilities and industry is going to have to utilize it themselves to be informed. And you know, once the satellite technology is more widely employed, then, you know, there's basically nothing facilities can do to hide when they have emissions, whether they're aware of them or not, you know. So time will tell, but with the advent of technology and how quick it's moving these days, the stuff's going to be pretty widespread before you know it.
No doubt about it. Isaac, such a great job. Thanks so much for taking time. I know our listening audience really appreciates it. And for more information, if you'd like to discuss this further, have any questions or more thoughts on the topic, you can always reach out to myself or Isaac. The best way to do that is go to our website, ppmco.com, and you'll see about us. And under the leadership team, you'll find myself and Isaac, and you can email us or reach out to us via phone. Isaac, any final thoughts?
Nope. Enjoyed the conversation, Ty.
Always a great conversation with you, my friend, and appreciate you. I know our audience did too, and great job as always. So that is multi-scale monitoring, where we stand right now. Reach out to us if you have any other questions or any follow-ups you'd like to make with us. And until next time, this is Todd Perry, and this is PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.